flavor is everywhere.
From text to mechanics.
Spicy pulls.
Salty plays.
The sweet taste of victory.
And the bitter sting of defeat.
It can lead to sour faces.
And umami friendships.
But all these flavors bring people together.
For a gathering.
A potluck of creativity, skill, and above all,
magic.
Hello and welcome to Flavor Profiles. I'm Matt.
And I'm Nat.
And we're hot off the trail of, well, part one of Thunder Junction previews, which left a few surprises, I'd say, with the, I don't know, is it too early for a spoiler to end that story?
I don't think it's too early. If you check out our episode in 2 weeks from now, we're going to go through an in-depth thoughts about the set. But today we're going to talk about something that caused a little, I'm going to call it drama, because it's drama. It's silly.
It's a little stir.
A little stir in on at least Twitter about Planeswalkers.
The return of one of the originals. We're not talking Garrick.
Yeah, we're not talking Oko either.
We all knew that he was going to be riding in pretty quickly.
Yeah, which we all saw Oko coming. But
this is one that a lot of people love to love, but I want to say equal, if not more, love to hate.
I didn't know there was such an outrage against this character. I was kind of surprised. I'm not going to lie.
I was too. I mean, this was kind of on the same level as, who is the one from Ikoria? I just went blank on.
Luca?
Luca, this makes Luca seem like at least a top 20 in comparison. It's Jace.
Yeah.
He's back.
So Jace is back. I mean, they've been kind of hinting at Jace coming back over the past couple sets. But I think the reason people were so upset this time is because the way they revealed Jace was actually Ashiok, or Ashiok was actually Jace. It's
kind of either way
unknown at this point. The card kind of has like the two of them blended together, the art on the card, where it's kind of like Harvey Dent style, where it's like half Ashiok and like half Jace.
The illusion slowly burns away.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I'm looking at both versions of the art right now, and I don't know, maybe I'm reading too deeply into it, but the standard one has kind of the hint of Jace's power removing the reveal. The other one almost seems like it's kind of fading away like dust and smoke as Ashiok, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I like to believe, and if you listen to our episode where I had all these crazy theories, I like to believe that it's Ashiok, because that would kind of play along into the theory I've had of, we're actually in dreams right now. So Ashiok kind of controlling Jace would make more sense to me if we're going along with my theories, but I don't know.
Either way.
It could go either way.
We didn't have an episode last week because Nat's household got hit with illness and then mine did. So I had a few days of bed rest to finally read these stories. And I seriously think it could go either way. I'm still a big fan of the original theories we talked about, that everything is one big dream.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked at the card Jace Reawakened several times to see if there's some sort of hint in there, rereading the stories. There's not a whole lot. There's some subtle little descriptions, but we also have a lot of characters who came back, like Vraska being back. Mm-hmm. We don't really know what happened between being Phyrexianized and then not a lot of detail.
Yeah. So I'll get into more of like the things I've seen in this set that align with more of my theories in that episode that's coming out in a couple weeks when we go through the set. But so we wanted to talk about Planeswalkers today, and then this reveal happened and the whole Jace outrage, and a lot of like the reasons I saw for people not liking Jace is because Jace is a main character, which is an interesting outrage. If you don't play Magic or are just getting into Magic or you're new, Planeswalkers are kind of like the heroes of the story, the main characters. Most of the stories and lore revolve around these planeswalkers, and a lot of these planeswalkers have been around for quite some time. Jace is one of those original, you know, planeswalkers that has been around for quite some time.
The original Lorwyn Five go back to, well, Lorwyn. We had Jace, Ajani, Liliana, Chandra, and Garrick, which I know, I'm pretty sure I always mispronounce Garrick. Is it Garrick or Garrook?
I've heard people pronounce it both ways, so people can correct you in the comments. That's fine.
And we know that will happen, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But in that time, there are, for Jace, there are 14 printings of Jace, 14 different planeswalkers.
Yeah.
Randy, Chandra, we have 19, 12 for Liliana, 9 for Garrick, 14 for Ajani. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think people were more upset about the fact that it was like an Ashiok Jace thing, and that there was no explanation or understanding to what was happening. I think when people don't know what's happening, it upsets them. So I think that's like the true deep rooted thing. I don't think people actually dislike Jace. I think people just were confused about what was happening.
At the very least, my thought was that Ashiok is still doing Ashiok things somewhere else, and maybe this was just Jace trying to take advantage of a situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
if all along one was the other or vice versa, then that's going to be a pretty massive change.
Yeah.
Without a lot of hints, evidence, clues.
Maybe we will get more explanation in Bloomborough, but
we get all the cute little planeswalker.
It's true. Yeah. So when we think about planeswalkers and Magic, I think typically we're seeing them in either A, Oathbreaker, which is a whole format revolving around planeswalkers, or in Commander. There are some planeswalkers that can be your commander in the Commander format. And then there's decks that revolve around planeswalkers like Super Friends, or sometimes people just will throw in a planeswalker or two because they synergize well with their decks. I've always loved planeswalkers. I love like a good hero story and like lore and all of that. Like, you know, when I was thinking about this episode, I was thinking about like how they're the main characters and how cool would it be to have like a Magic the Gathering Overwatch collab where they turn Overwatch characters like into Magic characters. So like Moira would be like Ashiok, and Reinhardt would be like Ajani, and like it would just like it would be so good, I think, like to do like a crossover, because they're just such like lore heavy like characters that have like personalities. But for me, I think it was like one of the first time I ever played planeswalkers, I wasn't a planeswalker based deck, but there was a Kiora in the deck, the one that makes all those those huge Krakens. And I got the ult off and I was just so excited. And I think from that point on, I just loved playing planeswalker cards.
I had no experience with planeswalkers until 2021 when I came back to Magic and I had to learn what one was. I saw what the cards looked like and I kind of went, this, what do the little numbers mean? These don't look like power and toughness. But my first kind of understanding of planeswalkers goes back to when Magic first started and they had the first novels in the 90s. When I read Arena, which dealt with the idea of planeswalkers and eternities, but without fully kind of diving into the expansive universe yet. I mean, it was just when it was starting out. But like you said, these are heroes and some villains, some that skirt the lines of morality. It gives you someone to focus on, to rally behind. And I think in every deck I build, I try to sneak in at least one or two planeswalkers just for a
I think, all right, here's my hot take of the episode. I think planeswalkers are underrated in commander decks. And hear me out. People always say that, I guess not always say, but I've seen a lot of people say, you know, planeswalkers are weak. That's why they're not included in decks. I think planeswalkers and commander decks are actually very strong because it takes the focus away from your life total and puts the focus on the planeswalker. People start attacking the planeswalker instead of you. So you kind of get this secondary pillow fort defense when you're playing planeswalkers and commander, like Commodore Guff. Love that deck. I kept the precon mostly as is. I updated some lands and I added more planeswalkers. Because it didn't feel like a true Super Friends deck to me, it felt like it needed some more planeswalkers.
It has good ones in there. It has a few unique ones that are just for it, but it needs more.
And so whenever I play that deck, I feel like I'm kind of like a hidden threat because people will always focus the planeswalkers rather than me. And so there's so many ways to gain life in that deck too. So it's like people start looking at my life total and they're like, oh, shoot, Nat's at like 70 life. Like, we probably should have been hitting that life total. So, I mean, I think they can be really strong if you're playing them correctly.
And I always find it funny, the people who say, oh, they're weak in Commander or they're weak in Dex, because the first lesson I learned about using Planeswalkers after understanding the rules was they are targeted first. Mm-hmm. Everyone I would play, even if it was just like one that came with a precon or one I thought the art was cool, it's like, nope, moment it hit the battlefield, it was out. And like you said, it worked as a pillow fort. And funny enough, I think in Commodore Guff, was that where they introduced the Heo Planeswalkers, Geometric Tactician?
Those were introduced in War of the Spark, the small ones that tick down.
Oh, no. There was a rare one they did for Commander Masters, and I think it was just in Guff, but it's almost a perfect kind of pillow fort one, because when he ETBs, you create a 0/4 white wall with Defender and Token and Fly.
Yes.
And like when you mentioned Planeswalkers as pillow forts, that one immediately came to mind. I'm like, the embodiment of it.
Yeah. Yeah, so the deck came with 17 planeswalkers, which is a decent amount, but
four of them new, including Guff, because there was a new Chandra, and then we finally got Vronos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I added, let me look at my list compared to this. I know I got rid of some artifacts because the deck came with like a weird large amount of artifacts, and I really wanted it to be like a true Super Friends deck, so...
Need to take mine and make a few modifications.
Did I not put my Guff deck in Moxfield? Well, I might have to do that.
Heard it here first, folks. Nat's going to do it.
Yeah. I forgot to put Guff into Moxfield, but I don't even have it sitting right here, so I can't look at it.
Gonna say, viewer, anyone who gets to watch us once we start going live with video, will see us constantly kind of like darting around
our offices.
Like,
yeah,
I know that's somewhere here. Now you'll understand why on the audio sometimes it sounds like we're driving by the microphone constantly.
Yeah, it's because we both can't sit still. I don't know, but I know I added more planeswalkers, so
we'll just have to do a follow up.
Yeah, because I did have a Super Friends deck before Guff. It was Karth the Lion, which is Golgari Super Friends. But
I like Karth. That is a fun.
It is. I just wasn't enjoying the deck as much as I wanted to. And I think it's just because the selection of planeswalkers in Golgari. And they just weren't like some of my favorites. And then Guff came out, which is Jeskai, so you have access to white, red, and blue instead, the rest of the colors. And it vibed more for me.
Yeah, you really only have maybe 5 or 6, maybe 6 to 10 new planeswalkers post Karth to add, which are, you know, fun in their own right if you want to use them for Oathbreaker, but kind of throwing them all together.
Yeah, most people use Atraxa for Super Friends, which makes sense because proliferating is strong.
So what do you think about the selection? There are 20 of them at the moment. Planeswalkers that can legally be your command.
I think...
Do you wish there were more? Do you wish there were less? Do you wish that there were just different but the same number? Or just if it's a Planeswalker, it's fair game. I mean, we can always rule zero, of course, but am I risking a second hot take?
Well, maybe. I don't love Planeswalkers as commanders.
I mean, I'd say you and I are biased because we both really enjoy Oathbreaker and kind of see that as the format.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Oathbreaker is just such a better format to have Planeswalkers as the commanders. One, because you get a spell alongside of it, and two, because there's less cards and less life involved. I do have an exception to this. I do like the flip planeswalkers as commanders.
So those are some of my favorite cards.
Mm-hmm. I like those because they're technically creatures first that can flip into planeswalkers. I think I like those as commanders because, again, like you're it's a creature at first. You're casting a creature from the command zone, and then you are and then you're flipping it after.
Totally fair.
I'm sure someone's going to be like, well, Nat, what do you think about Shorkai then? Because technically Shorkai can be your commander, which means that it can also be your Oathbreaker. Mm-hmm. I feel like that just defeats the purpose of like what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't love Shorkai as commander. That's my hot take. My second hot take.
Dude, it's not really that hot of a take, honestly.
Sorry if you play Shorkai.
I mean, if you think about it, you and I are very much vocal about how we're not fans of vehicles in general.
Yeah. So I think it's like that whole idea of like, I want it to be a creature in the command zone. I don't know. Maybe that makes me like old and like back in my day, we only have creatures in the command zone. But
starting to sound like me now. Stay young.
Yeah. but that's kind of my take on that.
I'm the same way. I really enjoy the flip cards. I think they're perfect for having in the command zone, and you get the benefit of an extra planeswalker kind of sitting there. Mm-hmm. They have a great mechanic story-wise, and we're getting at least 2-3 more in Modern Horizons 3. We already had the full card for one of them.
Mm-hmm. Which those are cool too, because those cards are specifically are being made to kind of tell the origins of those planeswalkers, kind of like the before. I mean, we all know their history, but it kind of gives us a card that's actually of that history rather than us just knowing the history.
I'm really glad they're bringing them back and doing more, because there's so many planeswalkers. I feel all the planeswalkers deserve one of these cards to kind of show us at least a hint of the lore, whether or not we read it in a story or created our own headcanon.
So one of the interesting things to me is that Wizards came out with a statement last year that said that they were from that point on only going to do one planeswalker per set.
Mm-hmm. I remember when they said that.
And apparently we have decided that we are no longer doing that. One, based on the fact that we've seen multiple flip planeswalkers for Modern Horizons, but in Thunder Junction, now we do have Oko and this Jace remastered Ashiok.
They were going to start doing that after March of the Machines, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we had...
It was a big thing because, you know, people are like, oh, well, how are you going to like build Oathbreaker decks now that Oathbreaker is finally a format? Then we're only going to have one person. People were kind of happy about it because that meant that those planeswalkers were going to be more valuable than they had been. But yeah, apparently we just decided that we're going to print multiple planeswalkers per set again.
I mean, from Commander Masters, we had 4, if you count the number printed in the Guff deck. And then they were consistent of one with Wilds of Eldraine, ones with Lost Caverns, one with Murders, and then 2.
And then 2. And then Modern Horizons, we're going to have a few flip planeswalkers. Mm-hmm. And then Bloomborough.
We're going to have a whole sheet of reprints, the bonus sheet.
Yeah, so...
We know that the bonus sheet is going to be reskins of old, they said, but we don't know if they're going to have completely new ones, depending on who makes an appearance.
Yeah. So, if you're not, like, super caught up with the story, the reason they kind of also did this is because the story that was going on at that time was Phyrexia. And there was this big thing during the Phyrexian War where almost all of the planeswalkers lost their sparks. So that was kind of another reason they were going to print one planeswalker per set. They were going to have the planeswalkers be legendary creatures instead, like we see, you know, Vraska in this current set, who's a legendary creature.
We had it with Nahiri and I believe Tyvar also.
Mm-hmm. So there's been a few planeswalker characters we've seen that are now legendary creatures because they lost their spark. And so... That's kind of why we decided to talk about Planeswalkers today, is because it's Easter today. So, you know, the re-spark of Planeswalkers just felt they appropriate. They have risen. They have risen. that was another reason why they had decided to do one per set. So I'm interested to see how they address how these Planeswalkers still have their sparks. It could be a while till we find out, but
I don't want to wait super long, but at the same time, at the rate sets are coming out, they could say, oh, we're going to find out in 10 sets. It's to be okay. So month and a half.
Yeah.
But they've done a good job, I'd say, with the at least focusing kind of on one Planeswalker since for a story's sake.
Yes.
I mean, we had Quintorius, we had Ashiok, Kaya, of course. The overall theme throughout these has been following Kellen on the search for his father, Oko. Mm-hmm.
Which is also kind of different. We've seen it a little bit with like Urza. But Urza technically was a Planeswalker.
Urza was kind of like a bonus.
Yeah. So this is kind of really like the first story we've seen in a long time where it's like the main character of these like sets coming out is not a Planeswalker yet. I mean, Kellen could.
We still likely have that epilogue story coming out between the time of recording and the time of this being released. So there is a thought that we're recording this on the eve of April Fool's, that they might not drop the story tomorrow for fear of it being branded as an April Fool's gag, which if the entire thing ends up leading to an actual April Fool's gag, bravo.
Oh, you just reminded me that tomorrow's April Fool's. I totally forgot.
Sorry. Yeah. Trust nothing.
Yeah. That's good to know.
Should we do anything for it? We can talk about it now because no one will hear this until after.
You know, I'm not really an April Fool's kind of person.
I don't like lying to people.
My favorite thing about April Fool's is the fact that video games put googly eyes in their games. Like, that's the most exciting part of April Fool's for me. I wish they did googly eyes year round, but, you know, I understand.
That's kind of fun. Like if you do something silly, or usually I think Ultra Pro sometimes does like a funny ad. Mm-hmm. Like if it's blatantly obvious that this is not real, there used to be, I don't think it's still around, but thinkgeek.com every year would do a fake listing for some nerdy thing that would be borderline everyone wants it, but borderline, wait, this couldn't possibly exist. And then 3 weeks later, after all the outcry, they'd just find a way to make it.
Yeah. So maybe they shouldn't release that story tomorrow. So Kellen could end up being a Planeswalker. I mean, it would make sense since we're spending so much time with Kellen as the main character, or it could just be wizards doing something different and choosing to have just a creature be kind of the main.
It's been really neat too to have Kellen as an adventure spell. Mm-hmm. Just kind of embodying Eldraine, kind of given a new way to depict his fae ancestry, family. And in the story, we saw that there is still a lot of power untapped within us. Mm-hmm. So you may be onto something with that spark could hit soon or something different.
Yeah, I mean,
but they also said this could be the end of Kellen's story, at least us following him as a main character. But I don't know.
Wait, I don't know. If that's the case, then all of my theories are just completely out the window. Because my theories all rely on Kellen being the main character, at least through the end of this year. So
it could still hold, I think. I think the majority of your theory still holds. We just have to remove small woodland creatures from
it. Yeah, yeah.
No matter what, we still get the cute woodland creatures, though. So it's a win.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, we kind of know what your favorite Planeswalker is, right?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. And I was going to say, in our early episodes, in our interview, once fun fact, we're going to start having guests join us this year and they'll get to go through the Flavor Profiles interview. And one of the questions is about Planeswalker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously mine's a Johnny, and I'm very happy to get the new one with Modern Horizons 3. And I love the design. How about you, Nat?
You know, this is a hard question because I like some Planeswalkers because of like their story and their personality. But I also like some Planeswalkers because they fit a lot of what I do. So like Ashiok and Jace are some of my favorites to play with because Mill and exiling. But character wise, I feel like Tamiyo, the Wanderer, all the Kamigawa Planeswalkers.
There's so many I want to go back and catch up on stories I missed over the years to learn more about them.
Well, like Kiora holds a special place in my heart because of, like I said, that was kind of like the first Planeswalker card I really like played and kind of got me to fall in love with Planeswalkers. So, I mean, it's hard for me to pick just one. And I love a Johnny too.
Can't go wrong. Johnny's like the big, almost kind of like the father figure, especially for Elspethor, but amongst them all, always kind of looking out, kind of a sad story too. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, the first Planeswalker I ever opened, either Haya the Inexorable from Kaldheim, or maybe the double-faced Rowan Scholar of Sparks, Will Scholar of Frost from Strixhaven. That was around the time I came back. I was able to get like one or two packs of Kaldheim before they were gone.
So my first pulls actually was the first time I ever drafted, which was War of the Spark, which was
quite a few planeswalkers.
So many planeswalkers.
Or what is it the Magic Kids crew call it? Oathbreaker Masters?
Oathbreaker Masters, yeah. Which is kind of funny because that was like one of my favorite sets to draft ever. And I think it's because there's planeswalkers. I think I just really like planeswalkers.
I really would love to draft that set, and I kind of think I should buy a box just to experience that because of the planeswalker. You're guaranteed one in almost every pack.
Yeah, it's it was just like,
and they're at all rarities too. And the uncommons are fun.
Uncommons are good. They're real good.
And they only go down.
They only go down, except if you play Guff, because then you can bring them back up, which is why they're really good in Guff, by the way. If you're building a Guff deck, throw some War of the Spark Planeswalkers in there.
And War of the Spark had a lot of fun little proliferate cards, too.
It has Jace, Wielder of Mysteries, which is a common win con for card draw decks. It has the Gnar set that everybody thinks of, the one where each opponent can't draw more than one card each turn. It has Nissa, who shakes the world in it, which is a very popular one. Opnixilis is in this, so whenever an opponent draws a card, it deals one damage. Like there's Cameo, Collector of Tales, like Tezzeret, Master of the Bridge, like there's so many good cars in this. Ugin, like
Liliana the Dreadhorde General, one of my favorites for defense. Kashmina, Enigmatic Mentor, where spells your opponents cast that target a creature or planeswalker you control costs two more to cast.
Yeah, like this set, like if you are like looking at some planeswalkers, like want to get into planeswalkers, this set was like the set.
Just go buy a handful of packs if your LGS has them and enjoy.
Yeah.
The packs usually aren't too expensive either.
Yeah, War of the Spark, just like, you need to draft it. It is so good. Yeah. When I drafted, I built an Izzet deck because I pulled Ral Storm Conduit in it and just went pew, 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 pew. Because I was just copying spells and casting spells and dealing damage. And those spells that I was casting and copying dealt damage too. So it was just, it was so good. I went undefeated. It was beautiful.
Ral in all the forms is usually a good choice.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you are looking for planeswalkers,
and if you're not sure you're going to find one that you like, there are 287 planeswalkers.
It's true. Well,
not 287 characters, 287 planeswalker cards covering a smattering of them. But there's something for everyone. Even in your favorite character, you might find them in multiple ways, shapes, forms, and color pairs.
It's funny. Before we started recording this, Jason goes, is Comet a planeswalker? And I was like, yeah, Comet's a planeswalker.
We even have unplaneswalkers.
Yeah, that little cute little space dog is a planeswalker, technically.
And another favorite we've been talking about, Jace, we have Space Bellerin.
Space Jace. No one was complaining about Jace when Space Jace came out.
No, they were they were confused about what sector meant.
Oh yeah, the sector thing was confusing. I did not play that card.
I kind of want to, but I don't want to deal with the severe strategic brain drain.
Yeah. Are there like planeswalker abilities or things you would like to see in the future that either like we've seen a little bit of or you haven't think we've really seen any of?
That's a good question. I mean, I really feel that there is a planeswalker for everyone. For, like I mentioned, for your style of play, for color pairing preference, for your story elements. And they really cover it all. And even the ones from Adventures in the Forgotten Realms had the ability to venture into dungeons for the Dungeoneering deck. Just off the top of my head and just kind of scanning through a bunch right now, I'm really happy with the variety.
Yeah.
How about you? You have a lot more magic experience than I do, so you're probably gonna catch something I am missing.
You know, I don't know. I feel like
if anything, I'd want a flip version for more of the others for an Origins, which really isn't like a super out there wild ask.
Yeah. It would be, I feel like if I wanted to see more of anything from a planeswalker, I feel like there's actually not a whole lot of enchantment support in planeswalkers. Enchantments are pretty strong to begin with, which is probably why there's not a whole lot of enchantment synergies with planeswalkers, but I feel like enchantments out of everything that planeswalkers do could use more support.
I can only think of two that have even a hint, Calyx and Estrid.
Yeah. So there's a couple, but like comparatively, like I feel like, because there's a lot of artifact support.
Tons. Tezzeret alone and Saheeli covered. Instants and sorceries, we've got plenty. Tokens, lots of mill.
It would be also be kind of cool, and I know we're seeing so much support for this right now, which is kind of why I'm like, oh, I'm surprised we don't have a planeswalker that deals with this. Clues, foods, and treasures right now are kind of like the big three tokens that we're seeing, but there's not a whole lot of planeswalkers that deal with those things, which I'm kind of surprised by because they have been such a big part of pretty much like the sets from the entire past year.
There's nothing. Yeah, I can't think of.
I also just realized that I need to amend my previous take of the commanders, planeswalkers as commanders. I realize that Commodore Guff is in fact a planeswalker that I am playing as a commander.
But that's different.
It's a little different. The other one besides Flips that I actually do like as a commander is Minsk and Boo. I like that one, especially because I think it's because Minx comes in with Boo. So it's like, you know, you're getting the creature with the planeswalker. So I feel like that's why I like that one. Guff is just a planeswalker, but it's fine. It's fine, y'all. It's to play other planeswalkers.
it's kind of like it's like eminence for planeswalkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we have to bring it out of the command zone.
So I just needed to amend that real quick before people came at me and been like, well, you know that Commodore Guff is actually a planeswalker and is your commander net. I know, okay?
You just don't know.
I don't like myself, okay?
We are our own strongest critics. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm kind of shocked that there's at least not more enchantment. I mean, like you said, food, clue, treasure would be great. But thinking about enchantments, especially after Eldraine having so many new ones come out, including an entire precon based around enchant, that would be a good
one. Yeah.
We definitely have the support in the command zone with a normal legendary creature.
That would be the thing I would add.
But who would you like to see come back planeswalker wise, like one we haven't seen in a while, or let me rephrase that, one we haven't seen in a while in planeswalker form, like a new card for them? Or I mean, do we want to say one that was desparked coming back, or it's too soon, we still don't know about, so one we haven't seen in a
one we haven't seen in a long time? You know who we have seen but hasn't really gotten a new card in a while? Teferi.
Exactly who I was thinking. I mean, we had one in Brothers War.
Yeah.
Still, that was ages. And in a way, we kind of got one on the flip side of Invasion of New Phyrexia.
Nobody plays battles, though.
Trying to.
Yeah. But
I'd like a new Teferi. Yeah, Temporal Pilgrim in Brothers War, I thought it was a fun planeswalker. Whenever you draw a card, put a loyalty counter on it. Mm-hmm. Zero to draw a card, create a spirit for dropping two. Then for the ultimate, target opponent chooses a permanent they control, returns it to owner's hands, and shuffles each non-land permanent they control into its grave. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fun and flavorful for the Master of Time, but I'd like to see him again.
Well, especially because Teferi had so much to do with the Phyrexian story. And almost with the de-sparking, to be honest, that, you know, it, I feel like he is going to be coming back sooner rather than later. And it's going to be like an explanation answer to what's happening with the sparks when that happens.
Yeah, he'll probably be the one searching for answers, mm-hmm. or maybe finally getting some peace. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see him back in Azorius.
You know who I would like to see?
Hit me.
I would like to see Grist.
Ooh, I do like Grist.
I'm kind of surprised we didn't see Grist when we went back to Eldraine, but because kind of based on the stories where they had, you know, been at that point, a Johnny and Tamio were kind of deciding Grist's fate. And, you know, Grist agreed to relocate to the wilds of Eldraine to kind of destroy the bad plants that were happening rather than the good plants. So I'm surprised we didn't see Grist at all in Eldraine. So I don't know if that has something to do with Phyrexia taking over or if something happened to Grist during Phyrexia. But I think it would be cool to see Grist come back, either kind of like evolved or like, you know, some sort of different, because I think she's an interesting character that they kind of forgot about.
Yeah, it's true. I would be kind of curious for that. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, just because, like, if you look at Grist's history, she kind of, like, ravaged and ate the lands of Kamigawa and Eldraine. So it's, like, interesting that between, like, Phyrexia happening and us visiting Kamigawa and Eldraine since Modern Horizons 2, we haven't seen Grist at all. So it would be interesting to bring Grist back and see what she's...
I'd also like to see Liliana, what happened to her?
Yeah, I feel like I need a Liliana legendary creature card. I feel like I don't necessarily want to see Liliana as a planeswalker right now.
Oh, I'd be okay. Yeah, I'd be okay with her as a legendary creature. I'd like to know more about sort of her digging back into her past with Limdol and the Raven Man and all of that.
Yeah. I think that's just because they've been reprinting so many Liliana cards that, like, I'm not necessarily like, oh, a Liliana Planeswalker card, because they've been reprinting. And she has strong cards already. So it's kind of like, well, do we need another, you know, like all the creatures return from the graveyard card?
Yeah, there definitely have been a lot. I think the last new ones are Onyx.
Yeah.
Who knows? She's at least has a fun flip card already.
Yes.
If you want to get your legendary creature.
Yes. So, you know, actually, I wouldn't mind if they brought her in as a planeswalker card. I just want that card to do something different because all of her cards are like, bring things back from the graveyard. Target creature gets minus something. You make a zombie. Like, they all do the same things. And it would be nice to have her do something a little different. I mean, obviously, like, it's her thing and she's going to do those things, but, you know, make it different enough so that it's not just the same card getting printed in a different wording.
I'm interested in seeing her maybe with an additional color.
Ooh, yes. That would be cool.
Something to show the change in her story, depending on what is going on.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I mean, if anything, I feel it'd be adding a white.
I was going to say, it would probably be Orzhov, but like, how cool would a Rakdos Liliana be?
Okay, that would be interesting. I mean, if you think about how...
when creatures go to the graveyard, she deals damage, like something, like you sacrifice something, you deal damage, like...
kind of going into the pain of everything.
Yeah.
would be an interesting story beat, and it makes me think about how the Ajani reveal for Modern Horizons 3 ended up flipping... It flips to Boros.
Mm.
That would be interesting to have a Rakdos Liliana.
Yeah, I think that I would go for a Rakdos Liliana Planeswalker. I think that would be so sick.
I'm really gonna have my mind racing on what could be. Up, Wizards, if you're taking note, we have us. you can put this all below a giraffe token generator, but still pretty high up there.
I'll take my consultation fee.
And with that, I think we'll be seeing everyone next time for another episode. Been great having you in our kitchen.
Let us know if you have a favorite flavor on socials.
We can be found on Twitter, YouTube, and everywhere your favorite podcasts are served up.
Just search for Flavor Profiles.
Our music is by Cormac Bluestone.
Thank you for listening.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Nat.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Keep cooking, magic. For those who like delicious flavor, now you can take us with you, even when you can't listen. If you like, you can go to our bonfire, newly minted, and pick up your very own Flavor Profiles t-shirt with our logo. We also have sweatshirts and hoodies and a variety of colors from Wooburg and more. Just in case you might be wanting to hit the farmer's market this weekend, we also added tote bags. Perfect for taking you from booth to booth, picking up everything delicious you want, or carrying around your deck boxes and all your fun purchases at the next Magic Con. I'd say pick it up while supplies last, but they'll be there forever, and they're comfy.